Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spudshed. Crazy cheap prices on the free Spudshed app.
How are you, everyone? What a great day it was today. Just looking out the window, still getting a little bit chilly now, but beautiful blue sky, not a cloud to be seen. A little bit of weather coming our way in the next couple of days. So enjoy it while we can, and let's hope that it clears up beautifully for a grand final. Again, 12,000 tickets sold out today to Western Bulldog supporters in quick fire time. Our number is 133-882. If you were lucky enough to get a couple of those, you Doggies fans, are you happy or are you sad? And put yourself in the running for the ultimate at-home grand final party pack. Because if you haven't got tickets, then there's only 10,250 left and you might need that at-home grand final party pack thanks to the Bottle-O. Great range, friendly service, independently owned by the locals. Gotta love your local, gotta love the Bottle-O. Paul Hasby, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Carl. Another big day. Some more Cup presenters announced today. Of course, we had Glenn Jakovich, who's the Premiership Cup ambassador. But today, we had the individuals from each club. Gary Lyon to represent Melbourne and Chris Grant, the Western Bulldogs. Two great people, two great players for those clubs, and well-deserved, Carl.
David Schwartz will be our first guest. We'll have a chat to him because he will certainly be, I reckon, a little bit emotional, but we'll find out. Now, what's hot for you, Hayes? What's the hot topic for Hyundai Forklifts, the driver's choice that will drive your productivity?
Well, Trent Cotchin has just stepped down as captain of the Richmond Football Club. So who is going to be the next captain of that club? Would Dustin Martin take on the role for a period of time? Or Jack Graham, a younger player that's spoken about in good volumes over there at Richmond? But it begs the question about some of the other players, Carl, that are going around at other clubs and whether it is time for them to step down from the captaincy, because Trent's done it for the right reasons. His form waned a little bit this year, but he's still got a role to play next year, according to himself and the club. He will go on, but he won't be the captain. I want your opinion and the audience's opinion on a few of these guys. Joel Selwood, what would you do with Joel Selwood next year at Geelong? Would you have him as captain? Would you have him playing on next year?
Well, I thought he was pretty good, to be honest. He was fantastic in helping his team score. He was really efficient in that area, and he played most weeks, unlike a few of the others. So, look, I would have him more of a yes than a no right now for me, but it just depends where Geelong are going in the future. If it's going to be the old guys continuing on, then Selwood might as well stay as captain. If they're going to turn the wheel and start to bring a crop of young players through, then you might look at somebody else. But no, Selwood stays.
If I was the list manager at Geelong, I'd actually move on Joel Selwood. I think the time has come. Yes, he played some good footy. He played a different role in the forward line this year, and he was a high goal assist player. But I think given where they're at, I reckon it's time to turn the wheel and get some youth into that midfield, because they've got some other ageing stars, and that doesn't help. Stephen Cornelio at the Giants. No, will he captain next year?
No, I don't think he will. I don't think he'll be selected as their captain because he struggled to get a game this year. I thought that would probably be the defining moment, is how he came back. And I reckon how he came back would probably even give me more evidence to say that, no, I don't expect him to be picked as the captain of the Giants for next season.
Would you go for Toby Green, given what he did once again in the final series? Or does that prevent him from getting it?
Well, potentially, yes. I think that he's got to become far more disciplined. I think Toby's going to play like that anyway. And he can still lead by not being the captain. So, yeah, be interested in the choice. So probably no and no.
Luke Shuey from the West Coast Eagles. Yeah, a lot of recent injuries for this young man.
Five or six games, that's all he played this year. He has to be a player that is going to be out there more weeks than not. So, and this applies to a couple of more captains like Pendlebury and Fife and Cripps and Sloan, who's at the Adelaide Football Club. I mean, a lot of those guys all fit into the same category because they've become all of a sudden, for the most part, unreliable because they haven't been able to be fronting up each and every week. Pendlebury got forced out of the midfield. They tried him in a different role. So to me, the writing's on the wall there. Whether the new coach feels the same or not in Craig McRae, we'll have to wait and see. But certainly, with Cripps and Fife and Pendlebury and Sloan, all wonderful players over a long period of time, just to let them in the phase of their careers they're in now. I know Cripper's a bit younger, but the other guys are older. In the phase of their careers now, I reckon they should just move into the twilight zone and let somebody else start to take the reins.
Well, Sam Doherty is the co-captain too with Patrick Cripps at the moment, and given his season, I can't see him in that position next year. Fife, he's good enough to go for another year. Mind you, I think Luke Shuey should get it for one more year, but if he does have any injury concerns, even throughout the year, I'd be happy for them to make a change as soon as that occurs. Nathan Fife, are you happy there?
As I said, I mean, he's a guy that with his body, he's been struggling, to be perfectly honest, and he's such an impact player. Can he still lead without being captain? He's a good quality captain. I love the way that he speaks and he holds his head really high in that regard. So from all of that aspect, I'm not saying that he should be because he's a poor player or he's a bad person. I just think that it's really important to have, and there's no guarantees here either, is there? I mean, a bloke can do a knee, you name him as captain and he falls over. But Andrew Brayshaw certainly shapes from how he talks. He talks a good game. He's only a young man, but he certainly shapes as one that you'd be prepared to invest in the future, that's for sure.
One more year for me for Nathan Fyfe. Have a look at it and see where Andrew Brayshaw is. But both are good candidates. Carlton Carl, today it looks like they're narrowing down their search for the next coach. Michael Voss, we know, has been spoken about. Daniel Gerrin, Siracusa. The other one that I think has had some interviews, Adam Kingsley's in the same boat. And I'm not ruling out Don Pike, your old teammate. I know he pulled out of the Collingwood coaching job and cited family reasons for doing so. But sometimes coaches pull out of those jobs because maybe they realise the chemistry is not quite right, and he knew that he wasn't going to get the Collingwood job. So I have Don Pike in the mix for Carlton. Who do you think will be the next coach of Carlton?
I have no idea. And I think that the way that this is all worked out is a shambles, to be perfectly honest. And the way that Luke Sayers has actually started off his presidency, given that he's been there since 2012, he was there when they appointed Malthouse, Bolton, Teague, and now for this scenario, he should be falling on his sword and just sacked over the weekend the CEO because of the gulf between on-field and off-field playing performance. Well, hasn't he been part of the whole process as a board member, and what sort of responsibility does he take? Anyway, that's something we can talk about. Hot topic, Hyundai high-performance forklifts, the newest name in forklifts, the driver's choice that will drive your productivity. You can Google Hyundai forklifts. We've got eight lines free. I want you to join the captain's debate that Hayes has rolled out as our hot topic tonight and put yourself in the running for the ultimate at-home grand final party pack. Who do you think should stay in the role, and who do you think it is time to move over? We've given our thoughts on the topic. 133-882.
And who should be the next captain of the Richmond Football Club? Would you give it to the great Dustin Martin?
We'll be back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Just before we go to the calls on 133-882, who should captain your club? That's what we'd like to know. Should the old boys, Shuey, Penderbury, Selwood, Fife, Canelio, Cripps, Sloan, step aside? That's what we'd like to know from you. West Coast Fever have announced on the back of Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand, our news headlines, that they have re-signed their captain, Courtney Bruce, and their reigning MVP, and Janelle Fowler, for a further 2 years at the club. So that certainly will, just get everyone falling into line and signing up, particularly when you've got two strong players with the calibre of those two, Bruce and Fowler. AFL news today, Jack Billings, Saints fan, he signed for life pretty much. He's 26. He has increased his contract for 4 years till the end of 2025. Paddy Ryder also signed, the 33-year-old, for another season. That takes him through to the end of 2022. At Carlton, Ed Curnow signed for 1 year. He's 31 years of age, so 1 year deal for Ed. And Brisbane's Archie Smith has requested a trade, mature age recruit, and he is 26, looking for a new home, likely to end up at the Gold Coast. I think that they are into him, so maybe head to the crosstown rivals. Perth Wildcats signed Jack Purchase today on a 2 year deal, 206 centimetre forward. We'll have a chat to him a bit later on in our show tonight. And in the WAFL, Tim Howe reported for rough conduct, been offered two matches with an early plea, 3 week classification, careless high impact and low contact. And Zach Dent of South Fremantle, sadly, has suffered a fractured neck out of that incident, but he's okay. That's the important part. As we head to the phones, Jeff in Bayswater. Good evening, Jeff.
Hi, Carl. Hi, Hayes. I just question about Nardis. Carl, is the prize tonight for the cooler of the night 2 cartons of Spinifex?
No, but look, I can hopefully arrange something like that in the not too distant future.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Is that your brother, Carl?
What I want to talk about is about Carlton. I reckon Peter Sumich should give it a go. I reckon he's the most wasted talent in the AFL, or if he is in the AFL, of a coaching career. He's trained the under-18s and he's got them up. And I reckon he'd make a perfect coach for Carlton. I really do. I reckon he really is the most wasted talent in AFL football at the moment in coaching.
Oh, look, I've always advocated for Peter Sumich because he had so much experience working under John Worsfold, helping West Coast win a premiership back in 2006 and, of course, make a grand final in 2005. He coached South Fremantle in his own right in the late 90s and very successfully. He then went to Fremantle and worked under Ross Lyon whilst he didn't see eye to eye with a lot of what Ross did, and in the end there was a falling out there and Sumer left. He then went to the under-18s and he took the West Australian State under-18s to a championship which hadn't been achieved for a long, long time. So his track record is very, very good. He gets results as a senior coach. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, he's just missed out. He just missed out when John Worsfold left behind Adam Simpson. He just missed out when Matthew Knights went to Essendon. Now, they're the only couple of jobs he's had a genuine crack at
in his time. He just missed out. He's in the top three, I think, with that one, behind Justin Longmuir and I think Dean Solomon and even there was another player, that Jade Rawlings, I think, ran pretty close to that role.
So there's those sorts of scenarios. I mean, sometimes it comes down to how good your PowerPoint presentation is. I'm not so sure that that necessarily means that you're a great football coach, and he's proven that. But, Jeff, don't disagree with you, mate, but his time is probably passed. He's out of the system. He's been out of the system for a little while, and maybe that will count against him, and I'd suggest it would. Let's go to the mouse. G'day.
Hey, Carl and Paul. How are you?
Good.
Now, you mentioned captains. I reckon it's time for Ollie Wines to take over at Port Adelaide. Could end up being this year's Brownlow medalist, along with the great Oliver at Melbourne. Tom Jones has done it for 2 or 3 years now. I think Ollie Wines would be perfect. And what about the luck of Ben Brown? He should buy 100 lotto tickets, I reckon. Being delisted by the Wooden Spoon team, North Melbourne, playing in a grand final, could be a premiership player. What were North Melbourne thinking when they delisted all those people? And also, the Stars lineup: Melbourne 64, that was where the mouse was born, by the way. Tokyo 64, the mighty South Adelaide Panthers in Adelaide, 64 premiers. This year, Melbourne grand final, Tokyo 21, South Adelaide are still winning. And guess what? People don't realise this in Perth. Simon Goodwin, the coach of Melbourne, used to play for South Adelaide Panthers. That's where he comes from. So a bit of there. And also, you talk about the NRL Grand Final with a bit of COVID happening over there at the moment. I reckon, and Peter Vellani's came out on the news, I just said before, he wants the Grand Final to be played in front of a crowd. Well, if they can't hold it in Brisbane, why not shift it to Perth in front of 60,000? How good would that to have the AFL Grand Final, the NRL Grand Final, the Blues like up all in about a month? And one last thing, could Brad Scott follow Brian Cook to Carlton?
Well, there was some speculation that it might be considered, but obviously he has to walk away from a contract. There was also speculation that Ken Hinckley might end up at Geelong if that sort of scenario unfolded, and he'd have to walk out in a contract. Michael Voss might step up as the coach then of Port Adelaide, which would mean that he would be out of the running at Carlton, where he's been speculated to be involved, hey? So there might be some dominoes to fall. I don't think any of it will eventuate, but you never know. It's been a strange old year.
I think it's a good idea that Chris Scott take up another position. If he's still got the passion to go for another 5 years, I would highly recommend that he would take up that job at the Carlton Football Club. Yeah, I think that's the right time at Geelong. He's been there for a long time. There needs to be some turnover. There needs to be some hard decisions made. I'm not sure him being in that position, he's the man to make those hard decisions. So with Brian Cook, if he gets the role as CEO of the Carlton Football Club, it makes a lot of sense.
Brian Cook mightn't want Chris Scott. You never know.
He might want somebody else.
Yeah, he might. Let's go to Donnie in Spearwood. Good evening, Don.
Good afternoon. Good evening, boys. Hey, Carl, before I go on to the incident in Fremantle, I turned my TV on when I go from golf on Sunday, and I thought, that sounds like Carlos from Channel 7. What the hell? But how good was the young ruckman from Swan Districts? I remember a few weeks ago I mentioned to him, I seen him play against South Fremantle. And then young Germs. I mean, let me tell you, he wouldn't be a bad pickup as a rookie. But that act by House on the young Dent at Fremantle Oval on Saturday, that was absolutely gutless to what he did. And now we find out he's got fractured neck.
I'm not so sure. I mean it wasn't that bad, Don. It wasn't like it was 100 metres away from the footy or anything like that. He's gone front on the balls there. Yes, he's taken him high. And what's happened has happened. But I wouldn't have called it a gutless act. I don't think it fits into that category. And, you know, it was careless. It was high impact. And obviously now high contact, we know. So, yeah, but, you know, it's a football incident, that's for sure.
But don't you think he's lucky to get 2 weeks?
Well,
I thought 2 to 4 when I first looked at it. And given the outcome, which we are very much now an outcome-based process or system, you're probably looking at 2 to 4. 2's right, and he still can play in the grand final because Claremont, if they win this week, they have another final, the prelim, and he'll be available to play in the grand final if Claremont get there.
He got 3. That's assuming he accepts the early guilty plea, which as we go to air tonight, I'm not so sure has been accepted just yet. I haven't seen a media release on that front, but we'll have a chat to Ash Prescott in the next hour, so Donnie will find out. Let's clear a commitment on the other side, come back. We're going to have a chat to David Schwartz, who is going to join us. He is a Melbourne man through and through. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can. We'd love to have you involved. Get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. It is 27 minutes past 6.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have a chat to this man, our first guest, a man that would be bleeding red and blue right now. He is a legend of the Melbourne Football Club. His name is David Schwartz. You've heard him calling passionately on 882 6PR all season. Swarter, nice to have you on the program, mate. How are you going?
Carl, Paul, no, really well. I've been really calm. The Brisbane game was a bit nerve-wracking, the first one. I'm very confident against Geelong. And I'm quietly confident against the Bulldogs. I think we're playing pretty good footy. So, but it's a grand final, as you know, and they're bloody hard to win.
Take us back to the day that you wore the jumper for the D's. 2000, mate. It's already 21 years ago.
Oh, God.
Hey? How fast does time go?
We got flogged. I remember being drunk. I wasn't drunk when I walked out of the ground, but we played like we were. But we came up against a pretty good side, Neston. When you lose one, you don't really go back and watch it again or go back over it. So it's a distant memory, but the build up was unbelievable. And I've just said to most people, this is not about the players on the day. This is about everybody just putting a lot of hard work to get there, and from past players but more importantly, the supporters that have been there through really dark days. And let's be honest, Melbourne have been through since the 70s, have been through some horrible days. We've had a lot of tragedy along the way, and, it's all culminating to a really, really big couple of weeks. And gee whiz, in 2 weeks' time, if the D's happen to hold the couple off, I think there'll be a lot of people that will be celebrating long and hard.
Are the fans and yourself a bit disappointed that it is not at the MCG, given it's been so long? It would have been a really nice touch to play at the MCG in front of all the fans. But with this group, I guess, Ox, they've got a real good chance to build a dynasty, in my opinion, so there could be other opportunities.
Yeah, there could be. But, you know, I'm not disappointed. I'm really happy for them to have made it. And, you know, what a great stadium it is. And the one thing about West Australians and South Australians, I think they're as passionate as any Victorian, probably if not more. I think it's a great opportunity for other states to actually experience what the grand final is all about. I've been to a lot of grand finals, and they're awesome. You know, they're one of the great events you'll ever go to. So for people that haven't been to it, just go there and enjoy it. It'll be awesome. Even if you don't break for the side, just go there and understand how captivating the afternoon will be and the evening will be. It'll be bloody awesome.
What about this forward line from the Melbourne Demons? You played in the forward line and you told everybody else to get out of your space, but this forward line's a bit different, isn't it? Because there's so many different types of players that can all stand up and kick goals.
Yeah, no, selfishness, Hazel. So you understand about that. So they're happy to give it off. They're happy to share it. They're happy to, be a part of a team. It's been brought together. They're a bit of odd bits, you know, with Benny Brown and Tom McDonald, who wasn't even in the side, you know, at the start of the year, he had to work his way. You know, he had to actually prove himself in the off season. Cozzy Pickett's first season, and then Spargo, who I think's just been unbelievable. And you know, it's just it's an oddball of forwards there, but it seems to work. And I think when you're getting delivery from the midfield like Petrarca and Oliver and Maxi Gawn, it's a pretty good mix.
What'd you think of Max on the weekend when he kicked the 5 goals? Oh. He's never played like that in his life, and he probably will never do that again. No. It was one of the great spectacles.
And I love him. Like, he's just a good bloke. He's just a. I think Melbourne are really lucky. He's a bit of a, you know, he's almost a cult hero to a lot of young kids, and he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he's, you know, he's an odd-looking cat. You only got to have a look at his head. He's a different-looking human being, but he's loved, he's admired, and you know what he's done for the footy club as captain. You know, can't be underestimated. You know, and you got to look at Nathan Jones, who's carried the workload for the last 10 years. He's going to miss out. That's a tragedy of footy, but also on the other side, you see Max, and that's the most beautiful part of footy, watching a bloke develop right before your very eyes.
He got twins today, so he went back Nathan Jones. So it was good news that he had the twins, and he was there for their birth.
Yeah, that's awesome. It is awesome. It's you know, I hope, and I think Paul Hopgood said this, and I don't want to talk out of school, but Paul Hopgood, who's had a bit to do with Nathan Jones because they're from the same area down in Mount Eliza, I think they were trying to get the boys to all wear number 2 warm-up jumpers just in, you know, as a thank you to Nathan and, you know, the effort that he's put in. If they did that, and coupled up with Robbie Flower as well, I think it would be very fitting for all the players to wear number 2 in the warm-up jumper.
Now, the Western Bulldogs, round 19, they won by 20. McRae had it 38 times. Bonanpelli, 31-2 goals. Same old names up the pointy end. Smith, Liberatore, Hunter all busy. Caleb Daniel, 34 and a goal.
Yep.
They're a talented team, aren't they? This is shaping to be one of the fastest grand finals, the way that these two teams play.
I know you like the casino, Carl. You never show your hand. And that's exactly what the Demons did. They just held back. They just said, right, we're not going to give everything off here. And if you have a look at the data from Champion Data, we actually played really well. We just didn't kick well. You know, Benny Brown had a shocking night in front of goal. And we just had one of those nights. But, you know, we won plenty of it. But you're right. They've got some serious talent. Some serious, serious talent. You know, and we're going to have to be on our very best to beat them. But I think our best footy beats their best footy, and that's all that matters. So hopefully we can bring it at the biggest stage, which is the grand final. But, oh, God, if we do, I'm telling you, I'm going to be drunk for a month.
Does Brayshaw go to Bontempelli? Look, he did a job last week. Who does he take on? Who would you assign him the role to?
I'm not sure. I think Harms might go to him. I think Harms will go to Bonanpelli. I think they'll try and get Petrarca and Oliver free. Whether that happens, I'm not sure. Jack Viney last week was a real surprise for us because he actually hit his best form of the year. So did Christian Salem, for that matter. So, yeah, Melbourne aren't a side that goes and stops too many players, but Marcus Bonanpelli and Liberatore have to be respected. I think McRae's going to get it. He just finds it. He's not the most polished by foot, but I think Libo's the one. We've got to watch him, and we've got to watch Bonanpelli because they can really set up and be creative. You have a look at Libo's kicking. He's so underrated with his kicking. He just puts it out in the space and lets the players run onto it. He's a superstar. So that'll be the two I'd be looking out for.
Does Simon Goodwin make any changes to that team?
Oh, I've got a feeling Smith's going to come back in as the sub. It's my gut feel. I don't know why. He's quick. He can play forward and he can play back. So if you lose someone early, you've got flexibility. That would be my guess. And I'm a huge fan of Jaden Hunt as well. So I'd like to see him in, but who do you get rid of? That's the problem. You know, I think Sparrow and Bowie have done enough work to keep their spot. So maybe one, maybe Jordan for Smith. That would be the only change I'd make.
And how are you going to spend grand final day, mate? Look, this could be the ultimate 50th birthday present because I know it's going to come early, but hey, you won't mind.
No, you know, so Victoria's stuffed.
Yeah,
our premier's a clown. We've got issues going on left, right and centre, but I live down on the coast, so I'm in regional, so I've actually got a little bit of freedom. I can have I can at least walk outside my house, which is good. I'm gonna sit with my family, with my son Coops and my daughter Indiana, and I'm gonna have one other friend over, and we're gonna sit down and watch the Melbourne Storm in the afternoon, and then we'll follow it up with the Melbourne Demons, and hopefully we can celebrate. And if we win, well, Carl, I'm not joking. When I say a month, it is going to be a month. We're going to go pretty hard and pretty long and pretty hard for as long as we can.
Yeah, well, it sounds like me in 1992. Thanks for your time, Schwarter. Nice to chat, mate. Take care.
Thanks. Thanks, boys. I love your work.
Good on you. David Schwartz, former Melbourne champ, and he is a bloke that I know will stand by his word. We will clear a commitment. Call the open line, 133-882, if you'd like to join in for the dig that's coming up next. Something, someone that you'd like to have a dig at. Your chance after this to put yourself in the running for our at-home grand final party pack. Thanks to the Bottle-O. Got to love your local. Got to love the Bottle-O. 133-882 is the number. Now, the ultimate at-home grand final party pack, as I broadcast off the top of the program, the 12,500 tickets that were, or 12,000, that were given to the Western Bulldogs supporters, gone in no time. Like the day before, to all the Melbourne supporters, gone in no time. Means that there is only 10,250 tickets left for the general public. Now, there's never been tickets for the general public before, so it's actually a first. So there is going to be a lucky 10,250 people that live in Western Australia come Thursday when they go up for sale. But if you don't get one, the ultimate at-home grand final party pack can be won just by picking up the phone and getting involved in the dig. Dial before you dig the first essential step. That's what we want you to do. 133-882. Or if there's something you'd like to raise on the program, ask a question, make a statement, give us maybe your thoughts on the captains who you think should maybe be boned or who should stay. Love to hear your thoughts. Hayes, there is some new news that's just rolled in.
Yeah, Racing Victoria, Carl, announcing that everyone must be vaccinated if they want to be part of the spring carnival over there in Victoria, which is normally massive. They have big crowds. If they want to go back to the racing, of course, double vaccinated. And I think this is obviously following other sports overseas, and we've heard the MCG talk about this and other sporting venues over there in Victoria. How do you feel about it? And do you think it's just a matter of time until that's the same here in Western Australia?
Well, there's AFL players, and some of which won't get vaccinated. I don't know why they won't, because all the science says that 99% plus of those that unfortunately are losing their lives are unvaccinated. So I know it's everyone's right to not be vaccinated, but my dig would be to those people to just have a look at all of the facts, don't listen to the propaganda, and just go in and get yourself vaccinated. Because there's a fair chance that if you get COVID, you're going to survive. If you're not vaccinated, there's a fair chance that you might not survive. So that is the facts. So for anyone out there who's procrastinating, sitting on the fence, got the pickets jammed where they might be sitting right now, then go in and get it done. Now, for those players that won't or haven't, and they've had the opportunity.
So what will it mean for them if they don't do it next year for the players?
Well, I would suggest that if you've got a workplace where you have to be vaccinated, it's a little bit like going to the race course. Well, if you want to go to the race course, if you want to come to the footy, and if you're not vaccinated, well, you don't go. It's simple as that. Now, if that's the path you choose, that is your choice. I understand that's your choice. But you're going to be fairly limited in what you can do, given what we are being asked to do as a community to protect each other.
There's been a fair bit of thought process gone into from the AFL, the vaccination of players next year. And I think they are now accepting that a lot of the players, or some of the players next year, will contract COVID-19 at some time. With all the movement that's going to go on and occur, players will obviously catch it. What happens if they get COVID? Do we still have that chance where they'll be told to sit out again, or is the AFL just going to push through this next year?
Well, it depends. I mean, it's a little bit like at the moment. Like, if you get the flu, you're isolated from the rest of the group. You normally are.
Yes.
Sometimes different players get it at different levels. Some individuals get the flu and don't suffer much at all from a symptom perspective, and then others get really crook. Same with COVID-19. Some get really sick, and some people don't even know they've got it. So, this is the scenario that we're going to have to deal with. Does it mean that they'll be allowed to play? I don't know. I'm not the rule maker right now. Should they play given that sort of scenario? Probably not. But if a whole football club gets infected by it...
Yeah, what happens then if a whole football club gets infected?
Yeah,
Can they play? Is it fair that they play? We saw the Cats play with a few people that were sick the other night, and they were so far off the mark.
Therefore, if you can't play, you forfeit. I don't know. It's going to be a world that we're going to have to learn to live with, but it might mean we've got to increase player lists I don't know. There's a lot of questions that still need to be answered because there's still a fair bit of unknown because we haven't had to go through that process just yet. But you'd expect that it'll happen at some stage. 133-882 is a number if you'd like to have a dig. As I said, don't dig yourself into a hole. Maybe I just did. Lodge a free dial before you dig inquiry. Daryl is going to join us. He's out there in Kingsley. Good evening to you, Daryl. How are you?
Good evening, lads. I like to have the dig at the NRL for originally scheduling the NRL preliminary final for the Melbourne Storm during the AFL Grand Final.
Yeah.
Well, it was after, wasn't it, mate? It was like about half an hour after the AFL Grand Final was going to start.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I don't know what they had in their calendar to think that there's no big sporting event on the 25th of September.
Well, they did it up against one of the finals that involved one of the Victorian teams just recently, the Melbourne Storm, and clearly they got some feedback on the numbers and people watching it. And over there in Victoria, there's a lot of people that love the footy, but they love also supporting the Melbourne Storm. I think it's different to a few other states that they're either one or the other. I think in Victoria, they like both sides, like we do with the Perth Glory and also the Wildcats.
Well, you just heard it from the Ox then, and I'm assuming that you were listening in with David Schwartz, Daryl, because now they've moved it to around 2 p.m. Western Standard Time, so 4 p.m. Eastern. So essentially it will now run into the AFL Grand Final. So those supporters in Melbourne that barrack for Melbourne and the Melbourne Storm can support both codes. And if you want to tune in over here in WA, if you follow your NRL, you'll be able to do the same over here, mate. It could be a big day.
Oh, absolutely. I've got a couple of mates that are Melbourne Storm fans, so they'll be happy that it's changed.
Yep, good on you, mate. Thanks for your call. Nice dig. We like it. Anyone else who wants to have a dig, 133-882, that is our number. We're going to get to a break shortly, but if you'd like to join in, you can. Just some of the other news, if you've only just joined us a short time ago, we got the news that two of our West Coast Fever girls had re-signed. Big signings they are too. Captain Courtney Bruce and your running MVP, Janelle Fowler. I made it very clear, Hayes, that I feel that with those two girls now being signed, that there is no reason why the rest of the crew wouldn't follow, given how important and how talented those two players are.
Well, I think they're going to have a very similar list from what they had last year. They didn't make too many changes the year before. So with those two at the bookends, it's a very good starting point. You can build around them. And look, the expectations on this group next year, I think, goes up. They need to get a premiership, given how close they've been in recent times. Of course, the new coach comes in and he'll make some change with the way that they operate their game plan. Just some other big appointments throughout the week. Matt Hayden joins Pakistan. This is Justin Langer's mate.
Yep.
His best mate.
Yep.
He joins Pakistan coaching group for the T20 World Cup, which is upcoming. Vernon Philander also joins him in that position. They don't have a coach at the moment, so he's yet to find out who he's going to be working with.
Damien in Vic Park joins us. G'day, Damo.
Yeah, g'day, mate. I'm glad the dogs got in. There's one thing that really concerns me, Carl, is that your last comments.
Yeah? Which ones?
What are you now, Dr. Carl Langdon?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's disgusting comments, mate.
Why?
What, you think you're God, do you?
No,
you
I'm
think
not saying
everybody
I'm
should have
I said you don't have to have it if you don't want to. I said the science says that if you don't have it, then there's a fair chance you'll get pretty sick and you might die.
Is that a fact, is it?
Yep, it is.
My God, I've never heard so much bull on the air of my life.
Have you actually seen the statistics that are coming out of Victoria and coming out of New South Wales, or you just turn your nose to that, Damien? Have you actually had a look at the stats?
I've seen statistics coming out of third world countries.
No, no. Have you seen the ones that are coming out of Australia, mate, on the East Coast, where we've got people in hospital and the numbers that are broadcast each and every day?
Yes, I do, Carl.
Okay, good.
I understand that.
All right.
You must understand, Carl.
Yeah.
Is that old people die.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, there's young people dying too here, mate.
Okay, name three.
Oh, look, I'll get your number and I'll flick you a few of the articles so you can have a read and educate yourself rather than you just ringing up and giving me a spray when you're obviously not reading what you should be reading, Damo, and see what you think after that. Now, there is a couple of important awards that were given out tonight. The Alf Brown, which is one of the leading awards for the media over there in Victoria. Sam McClure at The Age and Caroline Wilson for Nine and The Age. Alf Brown, groundbreaking year this was. It was a tie for the very first time with the two winners right at the top, two of the biggest stories in footy this year. Caroline broke the story that Alistair Clarkson was going to depart Hawthorn, and she was howled down for it and
all year.
Said that she was making it up and where are you getting this rubbish from? A little bit like Damien bagging me then, right? It turned out to be true, right? And then you had Sammy McClure, who broke the story this year with the story that he broke the racism story around Taylor Walker coming out of the Adelaide Footy Club. So two of the biggest stories in the industry this year, and well and truly deserved awards to those two tonight. So well done to Sammy McClure and Caroline Wilson for breaking two stories that gave us plenty to talk about on this program and all the other programs like ours around the country, Hayes.
They did, Carl. Very good journalists as well. And look, there'll be a few more stories broken, I think, in the coming weeks. Of course, Trade Week, there's a lot of discussion about players and movement that's coming up, and I can't wait to find out whether our two clubs will be heavily involved in the upcoming trade period. I think there'll be some big ones.
Well, as I've said for, and we've only had a couple of shows this week, Fremantle have got to get into the trade race here because they've got 8 and 27. That's it. They've only got two at the moment. Now, they've got a few more holes to fill than that. I think the back end of the draft numbers start to pick in about the mid to late 70s at the moment. Mm. So with Chera and that discussion and where he ends up going, I mean, that's even evolved even further today, saying that maybe Melbourne are out of the race because they haven't got enough to offer. Well, they have if they dish up a player. And who knows what might happen if you win a premiership. I mean, once you win a premiership, you know, things can change. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Now let's get into the SKG injury report. SKG Radiology care about your welfare and are now bulk billing, Hayes.
Carl, the medical staff at both Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs need a pay rise after the season that they've had. Three players out for Melbourne, and when you look at the Western Bulldogs, only four players that won't be available this weekend. It's quite remarkable given the length of the season and what they've all been through. But let's take a look. Stephen May, he was the big injury concern on the weekend. He's a test with his hamstring, but given that he came back on, completed what he had to do, I think he's going to be okay. Obviously, Joel Smith is also available and a chance to come back in. And then we take a look at the Western Bulldogs. Alex Keith, he's the big one, coming back from his hamstring. He's listed as a test, as is Latham Vandermeer, who's been an important player this year, a test with his hamstring. And Cody Waitman, he is available. He'll be coming back in, given his form from that concussion.
Yeah, but, do you make any change on the back of last week? I mean, you look how dominant they were, and they all played well. I mean, I'd hate to be sitting around the selection table because whoever misses out, and I know that Keith had been a regular in the side, so too had Cody Waitman, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, a guy like Jason Johannesson, who played back in 2016. There's only nine players that played on the weekend that played back in 2016. And, of course, Jason Johannesson was one of them. So maybe he's a little bit vulnerable given that he's been in and out of the side lately.
He's a bit of a good super sub, I reckon. He'll play that position. But you've got to bring back in Waitman. He was kicking goals. He kicked a bag of four. And Alex Keith, he's done the big jobs on some of the best key forwards. And given what Melbourne has at their disposal, they need him to come back in. But Cordy, he could be the unlucky one.
Yeah, Cordy could be the one that goes back out. So that'll be an intriguing scenario. For SKG Radiology, they care about your welfare and are now bulk billing Medicare rebatable services across all 20 locations. Now, coming up after the 7 o'clock news, that is next, we are going to be heading over to Queensland. Isaac Rodder is going to join us. Wallaby second rower, of course. Ash Prescott will be our guest for WAFL tonight. We're going to feature some waffle interviews throughout the course of this whole week. And Jack Purchase, the new Wildcat signing, along with Matt McKeldin with all the motorsport news. So plenty coming your way after the news here at 7 o'clock on 882 6PR.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Crazy cheap prices on the free Spud Shed app.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Kicking us off this hour is Isaac Rodder, a Wallabies second rower. And, of course, we had a magnificent game on the weekend. The Wallabies defeating the World Cup champions in South Africa in a fairy tale finish. A after-the-buzzer penalty goal from a bloke who starred, Quade Cooper. How are you, Isaac? Great to chat, mate.
Hey, mate, how you going? I'm good, thanks.
Was he as cool as ice, Quade Cooper? Mate, he was on target. That was the important part.
Yeah, mate, he was on target all night. I think he kicked 8 from 8, which is great. And he kicked 2 from about that 40, 45 out. So, no, mate, he was going through his process. It looked like I was on the sideline when he kicked that last one. It just looked like he was just, you know, going up to kick any other ball and, you know, slotted it, which was very needed.
Before we talk about this game some more, mate, just reflecting back, got a chance to watch up close and personal you guys against the Kiwis back here in Perth, and then to go over and settle on the East Coast up there in Queensland and now move into this second game. What were you talking about on the back of the Kiwi match heading into this important game against South Africa?
Yeah, so we just wanted to take some positives away from the All Blacks test matches. We were playing some good footy, but there was just patches where we lapsed and went away from our game plan. And that was probably one of the biggest points we wanted to work on moving into the South African games over here, was just we knew what they were going to bring. They, you know, they have a certain style of game plan that's different to a lot of teams, but it's very effective for them. They've got a lot of good pay from that. So we were aware of that, and we just wanted to stick to our process and do what we could, mate, you know, what we knew we could do well.
It was like the Kiwis. They were just waiting for you blokes to make a mistake. I mean, they were just picking off the odd pass. I mean, 97 runs to 55. They were just sitting back, just waiting for that opportunity, and it presented itself, sadly. And their kicking game was just that little bit better too, I thought. And so there were a couple of really key areas that you needed to improve, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, their kicking game, we knew that was going to come. You know, they kick more than they run, the South Africans, so we knew we were going to get a lot of kicks and a lot of opportunity to counter.
You get them again, you take them on Saturday night. Won't be easy this time round. They were pretty good in that second half, so you're going to need to obviously match that, but even be better to beat them the second time round.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think they'll go away and do their homework and, you know, fix up a few things on their end, and vice versa for us. We're gonna, you know, we took some positives away from that game, but there was a lot of stuff we want to work on and build for this weekend's game. So I think, you know, it's going to be a cracker this weekend.
What about your Western Force teammate, Feleti Kitaiu? Got his opportunity, came on after the sin bin, and obviously played a part in that winning penalty as well.
Yeah, no, very happy for him. You know, he had a little bit of an injury earlier on in the season and went away and got that right, but now he's back, and now I thought he had a, you know, did well when he got on the field. He did his job, so, you know, I was very happy for him.
Hopefully he keeps his spot there. What about James O'Connor? He's due back from injury. Is he likely to be push his case for selection, though? I suppose with what Quade Cooper did, makes it quite difficult.
Yeah, mate, I think, James is back in the squad, back from his injury stint. Yeah, look, mate, it's going to be very, very competitive positions. You know, there's a lot of talent rolling around in that position and all others. So there's a lot of good, a lot of good guys going at each position. So just, you know, it's going to be good to see how they go and see what they go with.
Samu Karevi, mate, I know he's only come in for the last couple of games, but I'll tell you what, he's a powerful man, and I reckon he showed his class.
Yeah, mate, he's a very big human being, and he's been unreal for us lately. He's making so much metres through these carries and his ability in the centre, so it's been great to see him back and playing and the Wallabies gold again.
Now, what after this weekend, what is the program from here for you and the team? Obviously, with Argentina, New Zealand, South Africa, and, of course, Australia all being engaged in this championship, what's next for you beyond this match this weekend?
Well, for me, it's just, you know, just taking each week as it comes. Staying with the team for as long as possible, hopefully. And, you know, we've got a few more games here in Australia, so it'll be good to see how we go there. And I think there might be a tour at the end of the year, but I'm not sure what's going on there. It all depends on COVID and stuff like that. So I'm just playing it by ear at the moment, I guess, which is a lot of the people are here at the moment.
What did you make of the announcement with Super Rugby Pacific, with an extra 2 teams coming in? That's a great opportunity for the Western Force to obviously continue their great run in the last 12 months.
Yeah, no, I think it's great to add 2 more teams to the comp and get that kind of trans-Tasman look about it. Makes a lot more competition, and it's, you know, cool to play against other teams, not just Australian teams.
Have you been able to do any recruiting whilst you've been with the Wallabies to try and get a couple more players to come back to the Western Force? Because you did lose some experience at the back end of the season.
Mate, I'm always saying, oh, boys, you can always come over to Perth. We'll have you. We'll take you. No, but yeah.
What about under Dave Rennie, mate? Do you feel like this team is coming together? Obviously, every time you play New Zealand, there's a little bit of a lack of confidence sometimes that comes out when you do get beat. But against the French and now against South Africa, it looks like things are on track.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, the team's in a good spot at the moment. You know, we're chipping away, building away, trying to build some momentum under Dave. I think he's doing a great job, and you know, the team are all 100% behind him. I just think, yeah, just got to keep building each week, basically. Take each one as it comes.
Thanks for chatting, mate. Nice to have you on the program, and good luck for the weekend. Cheers.
No worries, thank you.
Isaac Rodder, Wallaby second row, big man, 202 centimetres tall, Hayes, and certainly looking forward to seeing him returning as part of our Western Force, and that Trans-Tasman competition is going to be absolutely outstanding. Let's update some other sport for the Bottle-O. Got to love your local, got to love the Bottle-O.
At St Kilda, Jack Billings and Paddy Ryder, of course, re-signed with the football club. 4 years there for Jack Billings. At Carlton, Ed Curno, a one-year extension. Archie Smith from the Brisbane Lions, looks like he is on the move as well. The Carlton coaching race. There's a few names that have been mentioned. Michael Voss, Daniel Geren, Siracusa, and also Adam Kingsley amongst that as well. And today, if you have not heard, the Cup presenters, Gary Lyon and also Chris Grant.
Yes, there's some other news as well. We'll have a chat to a young man shortly. His name is Jack Purchase. He signed on for our Perth Wildcats. And the NRL finals. Friday, Seagulls take on the Roosters in semi-final one. Saturday, the Panthers against the Eels in semi-final two. John Worsfold Medal, West Coast Eagles fairest and best, is tomorrow night, so that will be presented. So
who wins, Carl? You would know. You got the inside mail.
Probably Nick Natanui, I'd suggest.
Think he will.
On the back of the All-Australian selection. None of his teammates got in there. I reckon Gaff will poll pretty well. I reckon Redden will poll pretty well. Outside of that, probably, I don't know, I was going to say Darling and Kennedy and those blokes who've kicked 40-plus goals, but they probably don't register, do they?
No. Talking about the All-Australian selection, Daniel Rich, of course, was included in that at Brisbane. He came fifth in their best and fairest, Carl, so Dane Zorko taking that out a couple of nights ago. So it doesn't always guarantee, just because you get All-Australian, that you turn that into a best and fairest.
And plenty of Challenger tennis on tonight as well. James Duckworth is in the round of 32. He'll play Lorenzo Gustino. Bernard Tomic, Mark Polmans and Matty Ebden, West Australian boy, of course, will also be in action in that particular tournament. We need to clear a commitment. On the other side, we'll have a chat to Ash Prescott as we continue our roll into the weekend of terrific waffle action. Great range, friendly service, independently owned by the locals. Got to love your local, got to love the Bottle-O. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and it is Waffle Week. We've been doing an interview each and every night this week, and tonight it's into the Claremont Footy Club and Spud Shed. Download the free Spud Shed app. You can sign up and start saving a spud load. The savings are absolutely amazing, and it's nice to have the Claremont coach and Ash Prescott joining us tonight. Prezza, welcome. How are you going, mate?
I'm going well, thanks, lads. Good to be on the show.
What a great couple of games of footy on the weekend. I got an opportunity to do the game on the weekend between Swans and West Perth, and it was only one in the last 90 seconds, and, mate, your game was decided after the siren, incredibly.
Yeah, I know. It's when you look at the AFL games, I suppose, and then the contrast to the waffle, it's... You know, some fantastic games of footy. I mean, obviously, as a coach, it's pretty disappointing when you fall on the wrong side of the ledger. But again, really, really fantastic game of waffle footy. Played in great spirit between a couple of great sides. And, unfortunately for Claremont, it didn't work out. But we live to fight another day.
And that's been the case a few times. There's been some really close battles. Does that play a part with the psyche of the team going forward, that you threw everything you had against this side, but in that second half they came back and just nabbed you again, and, of course, they did in the grand final last year?
Yeah, and earlier in the year too, Hayes, down at Fremantle Oval. So, look, I think there's a little bit in the psyche, but we had a really good chat last night and just spoke about key moments. And really, they were just able to have some clutch moments at the right time. You know, Donaldson kicked a fantastic snapshot. Sloyth, a forward 50 stoppage goal. We had our moments and we didn't quite nail them. So I don't know whether it's psyche. I think it's a little bit about system. It's a little bit about potentially some younger players that have to learn these types of lessons, because you can train it and you can practice it and talk about it, but in the heat of the moment, you got to get it done. And look, unfortunately, we weren't able to. But, you know, I think we certainly would walk away again, like we have in a couple of games this year, knowing that our best is good enough.
As a coach, how do you handle it after the game with Jared Hardesty? You had a really good game, but he gets that shot, he misses, you lose by a point. Do you need to do anything there, or he's professional enough to get on with the job?
Oh, you hug him, you know. I did. I hugged him, and I told him that I loved him regardless of if the ball went in or the ball didn't go in, because, again, if you knew him and you watched the way he prepares and the way he invests in his teammates and his footy club, you know, he needed that support, and he got that support. I mean, the boys rallied around him and made sure that we reflected on the point that it shouldn't have got down to that, and that gets back to a few of those key moments in the third quarter where we allowed South Fremantle to get back into the game.
Mate, he was unbelievably good. 16 tackles too.
Yeah, he had.
Just the work that he was doing. So he certainly helped keep you in with that chance, and just sadly he couldn't thread it through. Speaking about wrapping your arms around people, Timmy House would need that right now. We've learnt the news that Zach Dent has a fractured neck, and we know that he's been charged for a couple of weeks. That's if he takes the early plea. You know, this is one of those sticky situations that we need to talk about, but how's he?
Oh, look, he's fine, and he's really remorseful for the incident. I don't know if you guys have seen it, suppose I've got to be a little bit... You have? Yeah.
Yep.
It's a hard one. I don't think I can really comment too much, but the intent wasn't overly aggressive. That's all I will say. And if you have a real close look at it, he came in an approach to tackle type stance, and you're talking about milliseconds of decisions, you know, from then the Claremont player ahead of him was tackling Dent, unfortunately, and that pushed him towards him, and there was a slight shift of angle, and obviously that an injury occurred out of it. So, you know, he's very remorseful. He's a fine young man, Tim, you know, and it's really sad to hear that Dent, you know, isn't in a bad way. So, you know, we fully support the decision that's been made, and we support both people.
Can you cover the loss of him? Because he's been a really good goal kicker for you this season.
We've had to cover losses all year, Hayes, to be honest. You know, we've had six or seven senior players leave the club going into pre-season early in the year. We were really, you know, I had a couple, probably, you know, three 20-year-olds after Hamp broke his hand playing key positions for us, you know, and we've effectively been able to scrap and fight our way to get into a reasonable position to compete. So, look, I'm really confident that we've got some young talls that can just give it their best. They can compete, they can bring the ball to ground, and they can hopefully, you know, hold down a key position, whether that's back or whether that's forward. So, yeah, he'll be lost, there's no doubt, Tim. Because he's a very senior, good, experienced player. But, yeah, we'll fight hard to cover it.
Earlier in the season, you gave some games to Jacob Van Ruin. He's up there as one of the draft hopefuls from your football club. Should go pretty high. What did you find from him? And do you think he'll make that next step to the AFL?
Oh, I really like him, Hayes. You know, at waffle level, he was, like I said, he was sort of thrust into key position post, you know, and you're coming up against some really solid, experienced waffle defenders, you know, so he probably didn't show his best in that capacity. But what I love about Jacob is his appetite to train really hard. That's what people probably don't get to see. He's the way he trains and he prepares, and he's a real learner and studier and student of the game. I think once he continues to grow into his body, you know, and build his physique and his game awareness and his confidence, I think he'll just get better and better. I do like him down back. I think he's been playing a little bit more down back with the State 18 program, and I think eventually he'll end up playing forward. But I think early on that'll be a good move for him as he matures and he learns the game a little bit more.
What about West Perth this week, mate? You would have been watching that game and you didn't know which way it was going to go. At one point, you probably thought you were playing Swan Districts. Then it was West Perth.
True.
Swan Districts were a bit banged up, so you're probably hoping for them because of the injuries that they had. But you get West Perth. And what's been the record against them this season?
We're 1-1. You know, we had a good win early in the year at home, and then they got hold of us just by 10 points, I think, up there at Joondalup second time round. So, yeah, it was a funny one. You sort of got the notepad there, and you know, you're 1 minute you're studying the Swans a little bit more, and then you're studying West Perth a bit more. But oh, look, we know they're a really good team. You know, very strong across the board. Keitel, Knott, you know, Antonio, Lynch up forward. You know, they've got a host of very good players, and they're a very experienced team too, and very mature. So. Oh, look, we know we're going to have to be at our absolute best to get over the line.
And watch out for Riddick too, mate. You didn't mention him. He's just got a couple of tricks. He just threads them when you think, mate, unbelievable. Lovely kick. And when it comes to the big man department, you know, you spoke about Keitel. O'Donnell played really well. He's going to pinch it in the ruck with Delaporte, you'd expect. And that is, to me, one of the areas where this game, as you know, big blokes don't get any smaller come the end of the game. So it's going to be a crucial part of this match this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. You're dead right, Carl. And yeah, I mean, they've got a very good bunch of tall players. And look, we've got some, obviously we've lost one, but you know, we've got some really good ones too. And Ollie Eastland's been good. He also had a broken hand and missed 5 weeks. So it was his second game back on the weekend. So look, he shoulders a lot of responsibility. And young Jack Buller, Steve Miller, you know, potentially Anton Hamm might be a chance to come into the team. We'll just have to weigh that up later in the week. But look, they're going to have their hands full. But you know, again, if they're competitive and fight hard and bring it to the ground, you know, that's all we want from those big blokes.
Nice to chat, mate. We look forward to a great game of footy this weekend. Good luck.
Good on you, lads. Cheers.
Ash Prescott, coach of the Claremont Football Club there, looking forward to that big game between Claremont and West Perth this weekend. That match to be played on Sunday. South Fremantle taking on Subiaco, of course, on the Saturday afternoon.
Who are you tipping, Carl? South Fremantle, Subiaco?
I'm tipping Subiaco.
South Fremantle for me to progress.
And I'm tipping Claremont in that match against West Perth.
Yeah, Claremont for me too.
All right, so there you go. A little bit tentative, but we'll do more waffle tomorrow because waffle on Wednesday tomorrow, which is what we normally do. So we'll keep rolling in some different combatants throughout the course of this week with no AFL footy on this weekend. Big chance for you to get behind our West Australian Football League. We will have a chat to a new Wildcat. His name is Jack Purchase. He'll join us next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and the news this morning that I saw Wildcats announcement coming, and then a little bit later in the morning, about 10 o'clock this morning, we found out, Hayes, we were revealed who this person was, and it turns out to be Jack Purchase, a man who comes from really good pedigree. We'll talk about that tonight here on Sports Day. He's already played in the NBL, both for Melbourne United and for the Adelaide 36ers, and great to have Jack here on Sports Day. Welcome, mate. Congratulations, and welcome to Perth.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Thanks for having me on. It's exciting times. I can't wait to get over there and get started.
So you're not here yet. Where do we find you tonight?
Yeah, so I'm in Adelaide at the moment. So just out here with the girlfriend and, heading over to Perth shortly, I'm assuming, yeah.
Congratulations, Jack. Can you tell us a bit more about the journey so far to get to this point in your life?
Yeah, so I went to college in Hawaii, which was beautiful. Did 4 years over there.
Came back.
Oh, yeah, it was really tough. I was living about 5 minutes away from Waikiki.
I've been there 5 times, all in my younger days. So, yeah, anyway, that's for another time. Keep going.
Yeah, so I was struggling out there, you know, life was tough. And then came back to Melbourne, signed with Melbourne United as a DP, did my DP season there. And then COVID hit, so I didn't really have a crack at NBL 1 that year. And then was an injury replacement with the 36ers last year. And recently just been down in Hobart playing in NBL 1 South for the Hobart Chargers. And then our season got cancelled. And then luckily enough, got the call from Perth. And what an opportunity it's for me. I can't wait.
Hey, Jack, how does the injury replacement player scenario work?
Good question. I was at Humphrey and got injured, and they weren't sure how long he was going to be out. So then they brought me in. I joined them. It was a game by game type of a situation thing. And then he came back. I stayed with the team because they weren't sure how he was going to go. And then he got re-injured, and then I ended up signing on and staying with the team for the last 6-7 games of the year. So, yeah, I was just filling in for Isaac because he was hurt.
I want to go back to the University of Hawaii and find out why a kid from Melbourne ends up going to that university. Was it for basketball or something else?
Well, so actually I went to my first school I went to my freshman year was Auburn University down in Alabama. So I did my freshman year there. Then I transferred to Hawaii after that. And, yeah, geez, it was amazing. I was living on the beaches, living on the North Shore. My best mate's dad owned one of the most popular restaurants on the island. I was getting to hang out with blokes like Kelly Slater and all that. And, yeah, it was just unreal. I had an amazing 4 years over there.
And how does a 206-centimetre player surf? Can you do that? It is easy.
Oh, so I had a crack at it. I was out there a little bit, but it wasn't the easiest thing for me. They gave me on the long boards, and I was getting up a couple of times. But I remember one day I spent about 3 or 4 hours out on the surf and only managed to stand up on two waves. So it was a bit frustrating, but I had a crack.
Did you go out and have a look at Pipeline, mate? I went to Pipeline a couple of times, and I just saw blokes just crunching themselves on the reef. I mean, it was unbelievably big the day I went there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I went down the Pipeline a bit. I went and watched the event once as well, but the waves are huge. I mean, I can't believe those guys put themselves out there. Because some of them get held under for a couple of minutes, I think, if they get dumped pretty bad. So it'd be pretty scary out there, but, yeah, they do well.
All right, let's get it on the court. You've described yourself as a pick-and-pop four-man who can knock down the three ball. Is that pretty much right?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. That's what I've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years, just playing pick and pop. Like to shoot a three, like to make the extra pass, get an assist, and crash the boards as well.
I was just having a look at your average from your 9 games at Adelaide. You got 17.8 points, but 40% from long range. What makes you so good at the long range, and how much work do you do at it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's just the work. I work at it every day. It's probably the one thing that I work on the most is my shooting. So I feel comfortable whenever I'm behind the three-point line and I can feel like I can knock down any kind of shot. And it's just trusting in your shot, trusting in the work that you put in. And, it's just comes from a lot of work, really.
Your old man played in the NBL from 1984 to 1993. How influential has he been?
Oh, for sure, mate. He's been the biggest influence in my basketball career. He's been my number one supporter my whole career so far. And he's just been an amazing support for me. Him and my mum and my two sisters as well, they've been amazing in supporting me over the years. And, they're wrapped for me to be able to get this opportunity with the Wildcats.
What about Andrew Gaze? We saw him a lot over the Olympics. He gave one of the great speeches. There was a lot of emotion in that. You're his nephew, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. So Andrew married into the family. He's married to Dad's younger sister. So, yeah, he's my uncle. He coached me for maybe 3 or 4 years in the juniors before I headed off to college, and he was a massive help. And, he taught me a lot.
Did you like him on that show? What was the name of that show again? I forget already.
Shinwa
or something like that.
He was very emotional, wasn't he, when the Aussies finally achieved the dream of Olympic medal, wasn't he? I don't know if you saw that moment, did you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the whole country saw it. I mean, it meant a lot to him. It meant a lot to everyone in Australian basketball. It was a massive moment for the boys, and, you know, we couldn't have been prouder of him.
So when you come to Perth and ply your craft here, what have you been told? What areas of the court? You're a forward. Are you expecting to be a front man? I mean, how are you going to fit into the roster over here?
That's it. That's what I'm looking forward to training camp for. I mean, just to try and find a little spot for myself in the team somewhere. I can kick and pop. I can cut to the basket. I can rebound. I can make the right pass, make the right play for the team. I think that all that comes in training camp and just trying to get in and gel with the other boys on the team and help out in any which way that I can.
Do you know many of the players? Have you crossed paths with any of them?
I don't know them personally. I don't know many of them. I went to Italy with Kyle Zunick, the new DP that we've just signed a couple of years ago. But, I've had a few of the boys reach out to me today and just say welcome to the team, which has been great. I'm just looking forward to getting over there and meeting them all and starting to get to work.
two roster spots remaining for the Perth Wildcats, still an import spot. Can you tell us about who that import might be?
Oh, I'd have no idea.
That makes three of us.
And where are you going to shack up over here in Perth? Have you put in any requests? Do you know much about Western Australia and the landscape, mate, or what?
No, I actually don't. Literally 10 minutes ago, I was speaking to Mitch Norton about it, and he's recommended a few spots for me to live. But I really don't know. I'm getting a bit of help from the club at the moment, and I'm sure we'll have it all sorted pretty soon.
Yeah, well, Scarborough's a nice part of the world, mate. They've just recently done up the beach down there. You've got an ocean pool. You've got plenty of activities and all of that sort of stuff. It's close to the beach, and sounds like that you like that from your experience over there in Hawaii. Thanks for having a chat, mate. Take care, and hopefully we'll have a chat to you when you're here in Perth further down the track.
Yeah, for sure, mate. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you. Jack Purchase, the new Wildcat, and you can hear the enthusiasm in his voice. 206 centimetre forward, 26 years of age, spent, as you've just heard, some time over in the United States and more recently playing for the Adelaide 36ers. 17.8 points, 40% from the long range, 9.4 rebound average, 2.7 assists and a block per game. Pretty impressive stats in what was limited game time, and look forward to having him here as we clear a commitment. On the other side, speaking of looking forward to having people on the program, Matty McKeldin has been our motorsport expert, and there is so much to talk about on the back of Daniel Ricciardo winning a Formula One Grand Prix over there in Italy. The first for a long time. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Time now to chat some motorsport with Matt McKeldin, Queensland's number one real estate agent. Anyone who needs some property over in Queensland needs to call this man, but he's a motorsport nut, and he joins us to have a chat about it. Matty, welcome. How are you, mate?
Mate, I am outstanding, especially on a week where, I mean, all of Western Australia should be standing aloft their kitchen tables screaming the name Dan Ricciardo.
Yeah, we're just
your
drinking Chewies.
Good.
Chewies. Well, that's all right. Mate, it's been a while.
He's come home for the W. How good is he? He's come home for the win.
Yeah, very good. 1,204 days, though. It's been a long time between drinks for us, and it was good to see him get the job done. And there was a fair bit of carnage in this race, though, and particularly when it comes to the top two in the championship and Hamilton and Verstappen. And, gee, the verbal jousting going on between those two is very, very intriguing, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best. I mean, how good is it? This is what we want. We want the boys and the competitors to be at each other all the time and racing wheel to wheel and close. And I guess the only thing that came out of the race on the weekend, the most disturbing thing, was that accident between Hamilton and Verstappen, that Hamo actually got an errant wheel to the head. Luckily, we've got the halos on the F1 cars now, many open wheelers around the world, because that accident would have been a different, we'd have had a different outcome had we not had that. So that was very, very lucky. But they're just, you know, the niggling aggro that's going on between these two is great. If they were your kids, you'd want to take them out the back and bang their heads together at the moment. I mean, it's brilliant. So obviously a little bit of carnage there, some cars off. It was the sprint race format for Formula One, which the last time we saw, of course, was at Silverstone. And those two came together at that race as well. So it seems to be that that's what these boys are magnets for. But more than anything, it was just brilliant to see Danny Ricciardo take the lead off the start and then held it all the way through. And his teammate, lovely Lando Norris, come in for P2. So the first 1-2 for McLaren since, I think, 2011.
Yeah, and I think the important part too is that Daniel Ricciardo did his fastest lap in the last lap. So I think it was something that would be really pleasing going forward into the next couple of races, because the car was getting better and better as the race went on.
Absolutely, and his braking is getting better. See, the braking component of his driving is what's been giving him the willies recently. He hasn't been able to confidently brake into a corner. And Monza, of course, also known as the Temple of Speed, that's a circuit where you need big kahunas and big confidence under brakes. And he was certainly able to do that. He qualified exceptionally well, raced really well in the sprint format, which set the grid for the main race, got a ripper start, and they didn't get near him. So it was great to see. And as you say, shoeys all round. It was brilliant.
So what happens from here? Does he go on with it? And is he back, in a sense?
Oh, I mean, that old saying of one swallow doesn't make a summer. Mm. Look, he had a great race. There was some carnage. I think he's getting closer, boys. I don't think he's lining up to really have a crack at Red Bull and Mercedes, but he's getting stronger. He's getting more confident. What I'd like to see is that purely and simply he is consistently strong against his teammate Lando. That's the thing that we all judge him by. We don't judge him by Mercedes and Red Bull because McLaren's just not there. But if your teammate is giving you a flogging, then you've got the same car. That's where the questions get asked. So if he can be super confident and be regularly as fast, if not faster, than lovely Lando, then that's going to be a good sign for him and going into the future should give him a lot more confidence.
Good points made there. What about the Gold Coast 500 cancelled for the second year in a row? What's the current schedule for the supercars to get completed?
Schoolies for adults, gone again, unfortunately, the Gold Coast 500. So, of course, that's a street race. Takes a lot of money and a lot of infrastructure to create a street race. And if someone comes across the border and infects half of southeast Queensland, of course, they're going to be stuck with the bill for putting up a race that never went ahead. So no big surprise there. What I can say to you, what I can reveal exclusively on your show is that at this stage, it's looking like there's going to be two back-to-back rounds in Queensland at Queensland Raceway. There'll be a day race followed by a night race. That'll be the third and fourth week in weekend in October. We'll then have a week's break. We'll then go and do Sydney Motorsport Park. It's a double vaxxed event. You've got to be double vaxxed to attend if they allow attendances. There'll be a day race followed then again another week later by a night race at SMP. There'll be a short break, and then we're going to head to Bathurst, which will be in the first weekend of December, and we will close out the championship there. We have to do five more races to contractually tick every box that we need to within Supercar. So that looks as though, at this stage, that's going to be the schedule for the rest of 2021.
There you have it, Bathurst in December. And we finish with Nick Percat. He makes a split with Brad Jones Racing.
Per diggity dog, he's gone, and only 2 months after confirming his future with Brad Jones Racing, which is probably the biggest reason why all the jaws hit the ground when we released that last Wednesday night on the driver's seat. He is gone. I spoke to him on the Thursday. He was saying to me, "Matty, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why everyone's talking about it." But of course, there were lots of non-disclosure statements and all that sort of stuff that he had to sign, so he couldn't say anything. But yes, he is leaving. Andre Heimgartner, that of course sensationally left Kelly Grove Racing just a day or two before that, he has now been confirmed at Brad Jones Racing. And I suspect sometime in the next week we will find out where Nick is heading, and I suspect it's going to be Walkinshaw Andretti United to partner up with Chas Mostert. However, a little bit of a roughie could be Tickford. He might be going to Tickford, so we'll have to wait and see. But big call to pull out of a team 2 months after you've just confirmed your future with them. I would imagine that phone call with Brad Jones was not fun.
Hey, Matty, just going back to what you said about the last couple of rounds at Sydney Motorsport Park and Bathurst in December and being double vaxxed, how confident are you that those couple of events will go ahead? And why wouldn't have they, say, come to a place like Western Australia where, whilst they have to quarantine for 14 days, at least they can get their racing done? In fact, if they need to get two or three rounds done, can't they camp up over here for a month? What would be wrong with that?
They probably could, but I genuinely think it's an expense thing. They don't want to cross to Nullarbor. It's super expensive to get these cars and these trucks and everything over there and all the personnel and all the flights and the hotels and all that sort of stuff. These guys travel as a bubble, and I think when you're able to do the accommodation and getting to Ipswich is nowhere near as much as it's going to be getting to Perth, and then, of course, back again. So what will happen is that all the teams will, and half of the teams are in Queensland, don't forget. Mm-hmm. So the Melbourne teams will come up quarantine.
Yep.
They will then all travel as a bubble. They'll do the two Queensland races. They'll then travel as a bubble down to New South Wales. They'll stay in a bubble in New South Wales. If you're a crowd there, you won't be able to go into the pits.
Mm.
And then they'll bubble and travel together again up to Mount Panorama. So the cost is the biggest issue there, going all the way to Perth for one race and then coming all the way back, whereas here, Queensland and New South Wales are obviously next door to each other.
Sure.
And then the two races for New South Wales being SNP and Bathurst are also only within 2.5 hours of each other. So I think there's a big cost question there. Am I confident that it's going to go ahead? I'm not confident that anything's going to go ahead at the moment, but I know that that's the plan and I know that that's what they're working towards. And if you do that, then families are only away from their team members. The team members are only away from their families for probably 6 weeks, whereas if we were to go anywhere else, you'd be talking, you know, upwards of 2.5 months.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Matty, good on you, mate. Really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thanks, legends.
Good on you. Matt McKeldin there, our motorsport expert. Nice to have him on the program. Host of The Driver's Seat. Make sure that you tune in and have a listen to Matty perform. Absolutely awesome. Nice to have him here. We'll clear a commitment back with John Slavich next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Now, we finish off with Baron O'Day's Green to Green. Baron O'Day, because the little things are everything. And as usual here on a Tuesday, John Slavich joins us. G'day, John. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, boys. How are we all doing?
We're going well. Now, the first couple of days of the Mount Lawley consistency singles have been run and won. Who's doing well?
Yeah, look, we kicked off on the Saturday and Sunday, 11th and 12th of September, for the qualifying rounds before we get to the final stages. So we've got some big names getting through on the 11th. Russell Bates, Cody Pecker and Ben Leggett getting all their through. On the 12th, Scott O'Brien, Shane Knight and Daniel Truello head the big guns into that round. So they're through to Saturday's knockout rounds. And we've got this Friday, the last lot of eliminations coming up now. So we've got probably about four games to go on Friday. And then knockout starts on Saturday with all the finals being played on Sunday. So if you want to come down and see some of the best single players in Western Australia, Mount Lawley Bowling Club will be the place to be this weekend.
All right. What about the winners of the St. Ives Classic?
Yeah, look, the St. Ives played at the Cambridge Bowling Club. It was a great 2 days there. 168 players. Beautiful day to get on the green there and enjoy the camaraderie. Big congratulations to everyone involved, especially the St. Ives, who have been sponsoring this event for the past 25 years, and a new sponsor in Nogueira Therapy for their sponsorship with the Mega Bowl. The top three were winners were Peter Cole, Rob Gumbleton, Mike Giddens, Stuart Anderson with 91 points, Jimmy Buchanan's Joondalup side coming for second, and to round out the top three was Dwayne Wharton, Mark Ponte, Bob Frant, Mark Thomas from the Kalamunda Bowling Club.
All right, what can you tell us about the Open Gender Pennant 21-22 season?
Yeah, look, this is a great initiative by Bowls WA. In the past, especially in the lower divisions when they've been short on numbers, men's and ladies, they've obviously had fill-ins for those games where the ladies have played with the men and the men with the ladies. But Bowls WA have opened it up this year. So from our fourth division down, any gender can play on the Thursdays and Saturdays with the men's or Tuesdays and Wednesdays with the ladies. So it's really starting to develop there with a good mix of men and ladies bowling in the competition. And I dare to say in a few years' time, Premier League clubs will be hunting down those top ladies and it'll be men and women playing Saturday pennant in the big matches.
If anybody is interested in becoming an official, bowls.wa.com.au, held in the beautiful town of York. It will be in November, Sunday the 14th of November at the York Bowling Club too. So something that you may be interested in, if you tune in tonight to bowls.wa.com.au for all of those details. And, of course, that's the same place where you can register for the State Fours, which is open through until the early part of October. So make sure that you do get involved in those couple of great opportunities. Johnny, thank you very much for your time tonight, mate. Take care.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having us. Go the Doggies.
Good on you. John Slavich going for the Western Bulldogs for Bower and O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. We'll continue our build-up with Waffle on Wednesday to the big finals, semi-finals this weekend. Subiaco and South Fremantle this weekend taking on each other for the right to advance straight into the WAFL Grand Final. That'll be a huge game. Golf will recap the BMW Championship. And we'll have, hopefully, a couple of guests from Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs. Whether they are current or former players from the past, we will have to wait until we find out tomorrow. But we will see you from 6 o'clock. After the news that's coming up next, it will be Todd Johnston with the night shift on your radio here on 882 6PR.